I'm Dan Gibbons from the City Club. I mentioned all of our sponsors, and as you know, we take such pride in bringing all amazing people together here at City Club. And we've been, I will argue that we've been on a roll lately, and the proof of that is in the programming. It's in the partnerships, the sponsorships, the memberships, and really who is showing up. And just this week alone, we had a partnership with NASCAR and had the legendary Jeff Gordon at City Club. We had a partnership with Illinois Answers just yesterday, actually, and heard from a number of journalists on some challenges that are making it difficult for upward mobility. What an interesting perspective there from the Illinois Answers Project. Next week, we're partnering with the BGA, Better Government Association, and David Greising, and talking about transit and hope to make a difference in the future of transit. And then today, of course, we're partnering with the Pritzker Traubert Family Foundation. And we're going to talk about the Chicago Prize. And again, the proof that we as City Club are doing well really is a sign that the city is doing well. Because when we're doing all these things and bringing all these people together to talk about all these projects that are moving Chicago forward, we are in that forward motion. And it's because of all of you in this room. Do not let anyone tell you differently. Everyone here is a civic leader in one way or another. We're bringing all these different sectors together, philanthropy, government, business, nonprofit, academics. We're all coming together to make stuff happen in Chicago. So I appreciate your faith. Brian, we talked about this a minute ago. Your faith in City Club to be able to bring these folks together. And what we want to do is share this platform with all of you who are doing amazing things. I always say we're not the experts on much of anything. We are relying on all of you for the ideas, for the programs, and for the expertise to help lead these discussions and move our great city forward. So that said, everyone in this room deserves a recognition. I always like to mention a few folks just to make sure that we're understanding a sampling of who's here. So I'll keep it to a few more official. We have the Deputy Mayor, Kenya Merritt, is here with us. A couple elected officials, Alderman Lamont Robinson and Alderman Michelle Harris. Thank you, Alderman. Commissioner Sierra Boatwright is here, Commissioner, who we're going to be hearing from on June 25th. And I'm sorry, it's the waiting list is longer than the amount of seats there are. Chancellor Juan Salgado, of course, we'll talk with you in just a moment. And another City Club speaker we just heard from, Housing Commissioner Lizette Castaneda. Commissioner Castaneda. John Skinner is here from the CEO of PSP Partners. John, thank you. Andrea Sands from the Chicago Community Trust. Andy Zopp from Cleveland Avenue. Michael Fosnock from Clayco, another civic member of the City Club. So many of you, again, we could go on and on, but this is just a sampling, and you'll have to come back, and we'll hear about some more of you that are all here doing great things. So thank you. But I really do want to thank again Brian Traubert and Penny Pritzker and their family foundation. I believe Don and Rose are here with you also. Thank you, and a special thanks to Cindy Mullis and the team at the foundation. You all... This is a great partnership. This is a unique event for us, and we're really excited for you giving us the honor and the faith to host this and help you all share your message and share all the great things that are happening in Chicago. So I'm going to let the Chancellor introduce the panelists again, because we're not going to be biased, or we don't have any favorites in any of these projects. So I'd like to just introduce, to move us forward, a great civic leader. He's a public servant. He's also on so many different boards and involved in so many different civic institutions. And a great human being, Juan Salgado, the Chancellor of the City Colleges of Chicago. Welcome, Juan, back to City Club. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Dan, and the entire City Club of Chicago for hosting us today. You might be wondering, what am I doing up here? Well, I happen to have served on the Park District Board many years ago with Brian Traubert, and you know, got to know his commitment to getting to know Chicago through our parks and getting to know the people of Chicago through our parks. And so I've had also the privilege and honor to be a part of the Chicago Prize, since its inception. And I'm deeply grateful as a Chicagoan for you, Brian and Penny, and the entire leadership here at the Pritzker Traubert Foundation. I think it's really important to share that I've come to City Club many, many times to hear inspired leaders share their vision for the future of Chicago. This room today, though, is quite unique. It's filled with dreamers and doers, catalytic leaders who have spent their lives in community, creating opportunity and advancing equity. It's not just one or two or a few of those leaders. It's a room full of them. And in a room full of them, you can imagine if we could fully understand the vision that resides in each of you, we could lift up those possibilities, tell the stories, and help Chicago coalesce around you and your plans, so that those plans become tomorrow's reality and transformed our lived experience as a city. That is what the Chicago Prize begins to do. Can't capture all of it, but it captures some of it. That's why I love the prize. In a singular competition for $10 million, this brings leaders together. It surfaces the most catalytic, community-driven ideas. It showcases an entire portfolio of potential investments that span our city and collectively can lead Chicago forward. And we compete and cheer each other on all at the same time. We do. And why do we compete and cheer each other on? Because we know prosperity in any part of our city requires that there be prosperity in every part of our city. So I want to thank the Pritzker Traubert Foundation again, Penny, Brian, Cindy, Andy, all the team, Veronica, Monica, stand up. Zoe, anybody that's from Pritzker Traubert, just stand up for a minute. Yeah, thank you. I want to make sure that we thank all the partners in the room, funders that have given to applicants and finalists and recipients. I want to especially thank my colleagues who work very, very hard every day, Deputy Mayor Kenya Merritt, our Commissioner Sierra Boatwright, our Housing Commissioner Lizette Castañeda. Anyone who's been in public service knows what I'm talking about. We know public service is a calling. Right. And for any time you spent in public service, thank you for answering the call. I'd also like to, recognize the presence of the leaders that are being honored here today through the Chicago Prize. So will the finalist team members of this year's Chicago Prize please stand so we know who you are and where you are? All right. Let's hear it for them. Yes. Will the honorable mentions, okay, because we don't just have finalists, we have honorable mentions of this year's Chicago Prize, please stand so everyone knows who you are. Honorable mentions, please stand. All right. And so if for some reason you don't know who these people are, you should get to know them. Okay? Oh, my goodness. I'm running out of time. The prize anchors itself on a strong foundation for sustainable, thriving communities. That foundation is built by local leaders who have spent a lifetime in their communities understanding the challenges faced by people and institutions that rely on them for safety, well-being, and economic prosperity. The prize understands that it's these leaders that drive economic opportunity and revitalization in their communities. The prize knows that trusting and investing in community leaders capitalizes on the biggest upfront investment any community leader makes, their time building relationships, fostering trust, developing plans to create new assets that bring essential resources, services, housing, commercial space, and more to their communities. So let me just tell you from a personal standpoint, when I drive from my office downtown to our Malcolm X West campus, I go down Madison Street. I drive through the Sankofa Wellness Village, and I see an experience. Yes, I see an experience, a vision for the future that I didn't quite see before with such detail, clarity, and confidence. And it lifts my spirit to see the future unfold despite whatever may be occurring in the present. I can see it. I can envision it. I see the buildings going up. I see the celebrations being had. I see the services being provided. I see the businesses opening up. I see people getting equity, ownership equity, a piece of land, a piece of property, an interest in a business. I see the children getting the tools and resources they need to thrive. I can see more clearly than I drove when I drove down before because of these leaders in this room today. And that's not just happening on Madison Street. It's 95th Street. It's Bronzeville. It's Little Village. It's across our city. It does not stop there. It also causes us to do more action. We're putting a $20 million facility in the Malcolm X West campus right down the street. Why? Because this is contagious. That's what it is. This work is contagious. And I just keep going driving. Guess what? I hit the Spire Center. And I got Darnell talking to me. And now I'm full of the virus. It's all over me in a good way. So what I want you to know is that I believe that we can, especially at this moment, try and transform this city we love to a city where everyone feels loved. And I absolutely do. And the Chicago Prize has helped me to believe that. So in closing, let me put an exclamation point on the need to support community-led initiatives driven by a thirst for collective impact that can only be realized with collective responsibility to foster equitable growth in Chicago. And let me do that by introducing you to a leader that has moved me and encouraged continued support for community-led initiatives and emphasized the collective responsibility to foster equitable growth herself. Aisha Jacob. Aisha Jacob. You don't need an introduction in this room, but she's a lifelong resident of Chicago's West Side who has dedicated her career to improving the health and economic vitality of the community that she grew up in. And Chicago is better for her and better for every one of you that are in the room today. Thank you to the Chicago Prize.
Good afternoon. And thank you, Chancellor Salgado. Before I give remarks, we're going to turn our attention to the video highlighting the finalists. Thank you.
The impact has been immense. Access to high-quality health care, access to living wage jobs, access to clean energy, and just the notion of wealth generation and lifelong education in our community.
Chicago is our home. Part of someplace being your home is to realize that we're all in this together.
This is the most important place in our lives, and we want to see everybody thrive and be successful.
The foundation launched the Chicago Prize in 2019 to provide $10 million of patient capital to these leaders and those catalytic projects. Since 2020, we have committed over $40 million to projects in 15 communities. 10 are already either completed or under construction, while 3 will be in process soon. Today, we highlight 4 inspirational community-led visions that have emerged as the Chicago Prize 2025 finalists. Reclaiming Chicago is one of four finalists for the Pritzker Traubert Foundation's Chicago Prize 2025. They have an ambitious proposal, creating a revolving fund to build 2,000 homes across four communities. This model will not only address issues of vacancy, but it will also help create homeownership opportunities for residents and ultimately contribute to their family's generational wealth.
You start with the house, but it's the foundational for families to thrive. And if we do that in four neighborhoods, it's a very good model for the city of Chicago.
Renaissance 95th is a bold plan that brings together housing, healthcare, hospitality, business, and career development to empower the 95th Street corridor.
We will be creating homes and providing home ownership and creating a pathway for people to create new possibilities around different vocations and businesses.
What also makes it exciting is that you can build these homes in 60 and 90 days. So what that means is the community can see right away what they themselves are building.
Cottage Grove Corridor Collective in Bronzeville wants to bring economic vibrancy to a key commercial corridor and balance the recent influx of residential development in the neighborhood with retail and cultural amenities.
The market will bring a blend of culinary opportunities, wellness opportunities, small businesses with goods and services, experiential entertainment and activities in this new third space.
We're looking forward to having our community walk in and see these spaces that they see on the north side and other areas of Chicago that they deserve in their community, and that it's also something that they can have ownership in.
Energizing an economic ecosystem in North Lawndale plans to build several projects that will bring family-friendly assets to the neighborhood, empower entrepreneurs, and increase dollars spent in the neighborhood that otherwise might be spent elsewhere.
Our collective vision is based on generational impact.
Built on trust, history, and hope for all. Through five connected projects, we're transforming vacant lots and underused spaces into hubs for green jobs, early learning, arts, and entrepreneurship.
Each one is led by a trusted neighborhood-rooted organization designed to revitalize North Lawndale's economy by investing in people, building wealth right here in North Lawndale.
And so the far better feeling than being able to tell someone they won is to get to a point where all of these wonderful projects are supported and have a chance to succeed.
For anyone interested in the Chicago Prize, be ready, be willing, and know that we are stronger together than we are alone.
Wow, what an amazing group. So good afternoon again. I bring greetings from Westside United and the Sankofa Wellness Village. We are honored to be the second recipient of the Pritzker Traubert Foundation's Chicago Prize. Again, thank you, Brian, Penny, Cindy, the entire team. I once stood on the finalist stage alongside Kamina Brooks and Marshall Hass Jr. to communicate a vision for a wellness village seeded by the residents and CBOs of West Garfield Park, where yesterday we had our beaming ceremony as we prepare to open the first development in that village in January. And I want to shout out Commissioner Boatwright and your team for your support. It's developed by the community builders, Moody Nolan, Leopardo, and Ujamaa. It'll house Erie Family Health, Rush University, the YMCA. It'll be headquarters for Equal Hope, Westside United, the Garfield Park Right to Wellness Collaborative. It'll have a credit union, a cafe as well. Adjacent to this is an art center, the Maiafa Arts and Center for Activism. It has a community grocer initiative curated by the Garfield Park Community Council. And we stand on the shoulders of our comrades in the Greater Auburn-Gresham Development Corporation, the first winners of the Chicago Prize. Thank you, Carlos, Norma Sanders, Erica Allen, and all of your team for your leadership and guidance. As a daughter of a father who grew up in Bronzeville and moved to the Robert Taylor Projects when they first opened, and a daughter of a mother who migrated to North Lawndale a few months after the riots. I am honored to be here with the four finalists whose projects represent those communities, but more importantly, nine of our 77 vibrant communities in Chicago. Each of the finalists represent communities and organizations who sought out what my parents and grandparents, and I'm sure your parents and grandparents, looked for: economic mobility and better opportunities for their families. We will learn from our leaders today about their projects, but as I reflect and think about the climate of catalytic investment in the history of our city, it takes me to Martin Luther King Jr., who could not have done what he did in our city and beyond without a team, with people like Al Raby, Aisha, your lineage and your grandmother, right? Also thinking about the Reverend Dr. Otis Moss Jr., who was an advisor to Dr. King. Thinking about North Lawndale and the activation of where he stayed at 1550 West Hamlin. Thinking about his journey into Chicago Lawn. And yes, the incident that happened in Marquette Park, but he was here to activate what our leaders are doing today. That energy emanates in their veins and in their missions when we think about their projects. Chicago is so powerful. And as I think about the other communities, I think about the back of the yards and what that motivated with Upton Sinclair and the jungle and highlighting the stockyards. We've got the back of the yards 120 plus years later carrying that torch. So we have a lot of power emanating with these groups. I think about Pilsen, one of the few communities that survived the Chicago fire. And if we look at all of these communities, we see a trend and a shift in population where we had European immigrants. And then that changed into what we saw as predominantly African-American communities. And then we saw an influx of Mexican and other black and brown neighbors coming in to have a better life. This group today is the manifestation of that energy, and I am thrilled that I get to be part of this monumental space where if we were on the bus all together and we went to 95th Street to Washington Heights, we would go to the Vivian Woodson or the Carter G. Woodson Vivian Collection. That's part of the history emanating. If we got on the bus and we continued to go to different places across where these communities represent, we know that Chicago has been a place where blue collars become white collars. But everybody doesn't have a collar. They have to make it and eventually get to that point. And so what we're thinking about as I get the done sign, because I am your MC, is that we are eradicating redlining, housing inequities, food safety reform, all the tenets that have been put forth for those that have come before us, and the amazing tenacity of the local leaders and philanthropy who are committed to strengthening our city one community at a time. We are here. And so with that, I'm going to step out of the way and introduce our first community. Who's ever been to Bronzeville? Okay. All right. Home of Ida B. Wells, Muddy Waters, Oscar Brown Jr., Louis Armstrong. But I'm going to introduce you to a dynamic leader who happens to be the executive leader and director of Quad Community Development Corporation. Join me in welcoming Rhonda McFarland.
Good afternoon. So we had a walk-up song that started my presentation that didn't play. Okay. So my team is sitting there going, now what we do? Okay. First of all, welcome and thank you so much. I thought I was doing good being in front of all these dynamic men who I've worked with for years, but I forgot I had to come after Aisha. So I'm going to do my best. So when you hear the walk-up song, which, can we play it now real quick?
On the ground, kicking up some dust.
I needed that. Thank you. We are boots on the ground in Bronzeville. 10, 20, 30 years of history make up this team in Bronzeville. We are residents, we are business owners, we are professional providers, we are dog walkers, we are neighbors, we clean the streets, we work with our elected officials, we are boots on the ground, and we are kicking up the dust. All right. We bring as a team a new and renewed focus on our local ecosystem, building vibrant business corridors where the assets are planned, developed, and owned by us. Melanie, where you at in the room? I need to see my partners. There we go. And we are committed that these assets, these services, these resources will continue to enhance the quality of life for all the residents in Bronzeville. I don't think I need to reintroduce myself. I will say I'm called for a lot of things. Public speaking is not what I'm called for. So I have notes, and I'm going to read them. I'm proud to lead QCDC, the lead agency for the Cottage Grove Corridor Collective. We are focused on local ownership of real estate assets, removing the blight of vacant lots and vacant buildings that we have lived with for 20 and 30 years. QCDC does this work every day. We've done it for 20 years. In the last 5 years, we have personally, our team, engaged and leased 20,000 square feet of retail space to locally owned businesses. And we are proud to say every one of them is still operating, growing, and planning franchising. Those of you that know QCDC in our 22 years, we have been conveners, planners, and partners. We know the community. Some of my funders in the room know I say we don't need any more plans. We need to get it done. We are challenging ourselves to create projects that, just like our partners in other projects, that we get done in 24 months max. We need this economic engine to happen in our community. Okay, which one am I clicking? Oh, there we go. All right, that worked. I'm totally off my notes, so we're going to keep it going. Aisha, I already asked you about Bronzeville. You know where we are. You don't know who we are, and I think that's important. We know that teams make this happen. For 20 years, I was a construction real estate lender in this market. Some of our colleagues in this room, I financed your projects. What I know is that those projects require teams. Our team represents construction, engineering, finance, education, architecture, leasing, management, marketing, and more. Our team is further enhanced by all the professionals that we have hired to make these projects happen. And I am so proud to say that the vast majority of the professionals on our team live in Bronzeville. Again, I can't overemphasize that we are not apologetic. We are laser focused on community ownership. Communities where people live, work, and play are known to thrive. Communities where we own, control the economics and the assets excel. We want to excel in Bronzeville. Our focus is on the 43rd, 47th, and Cottage Grove corridors. In partnership with our team, our local team leaders are Millhouse Construction, Ujamaa Construction, and Oakland Rehabilitation. Let me stop for a minute. Oakland Rehabilitation is owned by Mr. James Fitzhugh. Raise your hand, Mr. Fitzhugh. Mr. Fitzhugh is a 40-year resident of Bronzeville. Mr. Fitzhugh was one of Guion Foreman's teachers. Mr. Fitzhugh has owned this building for more than 10 years with not having the ability to complete the full renovation. For the last year, we've worked with him and we brought that project into the fold. You can't get more local than that. And this is what we're trying to do. Oops, I didn't mean for that to happen, but that's okay. Where am I on time? Ooh, I'm done. So, we know the numbers. We are so grateful to the Pritzker-Talbert Foundation. We plan to exceed the $30 million leverage because our goal is that our other partners in Bronzeville who got honorable mention today, their projects move forward too, and that we leverage this entire room for all of these projects. Thank you.
Rhonda, I know you want to drop the mic, but I need you to come up here. Okay. Oh, you got to get your tea? Okay. All right. Let's give it up one more time. Yes, please take your seat. And I want to ask you one question. You mentioned a lot of partners. Your song was Boots on the Ground.
Boots on the Ground.
We know that it takes boots on the ground to get this work done. Tell us about why you chose it. It might be obvious, but I just want to know if it's another reason.
We chose it because it's not clean. It's dirty cowboy boots on a farm. Most of our most important meetings are what we call street meetings. That's walking back and forth from the office. That's walking the dog. That's walking the children to school. All of those things is where we meet our community. And that's what boots on the ground is. Boots on the ground is being able to have relationships that are in this room that go so far beyond this room. It's a bit overwhelming. But those are relationships that we can call every day. You already mentioned our two teams that led in front of us, or the one team and then your team. I've already had 10,000 calls with the members of both of those teams. So our goal collectively, as we try to make this win for Chicago, is that we are not all trying to do it the first time by ourselves. There's no reason why Norma and Carlos shouldn't be on my speed dial. There's no reason why Kamina and Kristen aren't on our speed dial. Kristen cut her teeth at QCDC. We are so proud. Where you at, Kristen? I saw you in the room. We are so proud of her and that work. And that's why we are boots on the ground. Whether that groundwork is in the city of Chicago with our friends, with our aldermen in the 4th and 3rd ward, with our state reps, in our schools, in our parks.
Thank you so much. If we had time, we would teach you all the boots on the ground, pass out fans, but we don't. So with that, I want to introduce our second finalist. Energizing an economic ecosystem in North Lawndale, represented by Executive Director of Lawndale Christian Development Corporation, the Richard Townsend.
Good morning. My name is Richard Townsell, and I serve as the executive director of the Lawndale Christian Development Corporation. Our team picked the Chicago Bulls theme song because the Bulls are the only sports team to win 6 championships, and they just happen to be on the west side, which we call the blessed side. All jokes aside, I've worked with all of the other finalists and have great respect and admiration for all of them. Energizing an Economic Ecosystem for North Lawndale is a transformative series of projects intended to create economic vitality across the neighborhood. Our team, which is on this slide, because I'm going to try to stay on time, I'm not going to introduce them, but they're an amazing team, and our team has a hypothesis that no one project could revitalize our community. I would dare say any community. But what we propose is that a series of connected projects could help to overcome significant challenges that have been persistent for decades. Our challenges, according to a study done by the UIC Great Cities, nearly $124 million leaves North Lawndale each year. Just think about that for a second. Local jobs in our neighborhood are plentiful, but they tend to go to residents from outside of the neighborhood. And finally, there are 60 acres of vacant land in North Lawndale, including 3,000. I'm going to say that again in English, 3,000 vacant lots. On a personal note, my church goes to family every Sunday. Right, Pastor?
That's right.
That's right. Every Sunday. But usually after church, either I cook my amazing waffles at home or we go out to Sunday brunch. My daughter's 30, and for the past 30 years, we have been unable to do that in North Lawndale. Imagine taking your children to museums around the city without ever wondering, were we unintentionally sending the message that every educational experience of value was outside of the neighborhood? Rodney Brown and our team often tells the story of a gentleman that he knows that says, I leave North Lawndale for everything. I buy everything outside of North Lawndale except a haircut. It's tragic, right? Our solutions, we will deliver 65 new and part-time jobs, 80 new businesses annually, 285 residents will be trained and placed in jobs, and we're going to create vibrant amenity spaces that will attract local and visitor spending, including that chocolate on your table. If you all haven't had the chocolate at all on your table, you can take it now. And if your lips are a little dry, you can, Linda's holding, she's holding up, already knew, if your lips are a little dry, there's a lip balm that's made in North Lawndale. So I'm going to tell you a quick story about the chocolate. We work with a chocolate cooperative. We work with local women growers in Uganda, on the Ivory Coast, and the Caribbean that exports cocoa to North Lawndale. And we make chocolate and chocolate-infused products in North Lawndale. And that's part of one of our projects that we'll be doing. A few folks that don't believe this is possible, well, there's a MasterCard study commissioned by North Lawndale Employment Network that showed a 59% increase in spending around North Lawndale Employment Network's campus. And so their mantra is, if you build it, they will spend it. That's our new mantra. Our projects are connected through many ways, but we've given thoughtful consideration, if you look at this ecosystem that we've created, about generational impact. We've thought about babies, to teens, to folks that want a fair chance, to MBAs, and everybody in between. We've thought about revenue generators, but also destination locations, both attractive for both local residents as well as visitors. Because we're being very, very thoughtful about stemming that leakage of $124 million that leaves our neighborhood every year. We thought about, we're a catalyst for other development. You're going to hear about thousands of new homes. We just so happen to be on that project as well. And apartments that are going to be built. Updated STEM schools in our neighborhoods. New parks, new libraries from all of our collective work. Most importantly, it's going to be a counterweight to the persistent nihilism. It's a fancy word that means hopelessness and apathy that can take hold when dreams are deferred. Clearly, we have chosen North Lawndale. We want you to choose North Lawndale, too. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Richard. I am going to, in the interest of time, encourage our remaining presenters to take a look down here at the time. It'll come up for you. But, Richard, we do have time. Yes, we want to raise your hand again. Boom, right here. Okay, so Richard, I have one question for you. We know that North Lawndale is very historic, from housing Dr. Martin Luther King to it being the home or the third largest enclave of Jewish residents. So there is a lot of history there. When my three-year-old opens up his college history book, what do you want him to read about North Lawndale and the work that you're doing?
It's a very interesting question. I think a lot of people don't know that Dr. King actually lived in North Lawndale at 1558 South Hamlin. And he came to end slum housing. When my parents moved there in the my mother moved there in the 50s, it was an overcrowded community. There were 120,000 people that lived in North Lawndale then. And it was overcrowding, severe. And so Dr. King came to really protest the slum housing that so many people were forced to live in. You couldn't get a mortgage, right? There was redlining. And so I would love for folks, young people, to begin to understand not just the history, but the economic drivers that weren't happening in North Lawndale and what we're trying to do today.
Thank you. At this time, we're going to bring up finalist three from Reclaiming Chicago, represented by Raul Raimundo from Resurrection Project.
Chicago.
Come on.
I like healthy competition. So in the spirit of healthy competition, we're going to be building some homes in North Lawndale. All those 3,000 vacant lots that Richard mentioned, homes are going to be built there over time. Thank you. Muchas gracias. I am humbled to be here with all of you working to make a difference. To my fellow finalists, it's an honor to share the stage with you. You know, our communities are hurting, but they are also resilient. Change begins in the neighborhood. We are organizing people. We are organizing money with an organized mission. That is what Reclaiming Chicago is all about. This initiative is working across racial and geographic lines under the United Power for Action umbrella. This initiative brings together several seasoned and experienced organizations with deep roots in their communities. Our goal is very simple. We want to build 2,000 homes over the next 4 years in four different communities. We are taking vacant lots and building beautiful homes for beautiful families with a fighting spirit to do more. Most of the working families that we are working with do not invest in the stock market or fancy insurance instruments. They invest in buying a home, and when doing it right, they are going to build generational wealth. Señora Martinez, 30 years ago, we built a home for her in Pilsen. A few months ago, she ran into me at a restaurant and said, Señor Raimundo, acabo de pagar mi casa. I just finished paying my home. 30 years later, we built that home for $110,000. Today, it's worth over $450,000. But it is her leadership that's most important in the community that has been there for over 30 years. Again, we are not just helping families buy home. We are helping families buy part of their community. And in doing so, we're stabilizing communities, increasing property values. We are closing the homeownership gap for Latinos and Blacks and the wealth gap as well. We're lowering crimes, spurring economic development, civic engagement, strengthening local schools, and yes, reversing the population decline in these neighborhoods and in the city of Chicago. We have a proven plan. We've done this before. We have momentum. We have raised $25 million to support the construction of these homes. We have built to date 79 homes and have about 80 more homes under permit to be built. We have a pipeline of prepared buyers, educated buyers, ready to buy these homes. These are mostly first-time homeowners and with an average income of $65,000. According to many economic studies, our plan and our program is going to generate hundreds of millions of dollars to the city's economy, and not to mention many of these vacant lots will be put back on the tax roll for the public coffers. But this is not enough. Chicago is saddled with over 40,000 vacant lots, of 10,000 of which are owned by the city. We are currently constructing about 75 to 100 per year. This is not enough. The Chicago Prize will help us accelerate and scale up our success. Again, our families are not just buying a piece of property. They're buying part of the community and investing in the city as a whole.
Thank you, Raul. That was impressive. I saw you watching the time. So with that, I have a question for you, Raul. What else besides the Chicago Prize is needed to activate the vision that your project seeks to achieve?
The city as a whole has to recognize that we can do this. We cannot have 40,000 vacant lots, 10,000 city vacant lots for the next 30 years. If we could turn that around, the city will prosper.
Thank you. How many of you have gotten off the Dan Ryan recently and turned right on 95th Street? Anybody? Yeah? Okay. All right. So I'm going to bring up our fourth and final finalist from Renaissance 95th, represented by the Reverend Dr. Otis Moss III, Senior Pastor at Trinity United Church of Christ.
Take this opportunity to say thank you to all those who have been a part of this program and project, and to all of the finalists. It is a delight that we are all collectively a part of the light, and I'm so grateful. I stand before you today because I want to share with you the fact that I want to speak about Renaissance. I'm not talking about gentrification, but Renaissance, the revitalization that is happening on the south side of Chicago. And if we participate in this Renaissance, we will see something that will change the very fabric of this city. And the greatest tool that we have at our disposal is our imagination. And if we dare decolonize our imagination, we will see the transformation of the South Side of Chicago. We have all of the necessary anchors to see Renaissance, not gentrification. Education. We have the premier four-year institution right on the south side of Chicago, Chicago State University. We are in a partnership with them to redo the Metro line right there on 95th Street as a welcome center for Chicago State and Amani Village. The education as an anchor. We also have a vocation. Vocation, where every piece of this project is workforce development, giving people a second chance, but creating thriving community and wealth building. We also have health equity with our partnership with Advocate Healthcare. We have a medical center that is about to be expanded into an urgent care that will be right on the south side of Chicago, right off of 95th Street. And also housing. We are building affordable housing, single family housing, and also senior housing. But our partnership with Inherent LLC, creating FinTech, prefab, modular homes that are green from the ground up, that are produced on the south side of Chicago, distributed all around the city, is a unique and powerful opportunity where living wages will be provided so those who build the homes can buy the homes. And not only that, the creation of an empowerment zone, a Sankofa market, along with a boutique hotel, a four-star boutique hotel right on the south side of Chicago. The necessary anchors in order to create Renaissance. You see here. In order to create Renaissance, we can go to the next slide. And when we have those necessary anchors, we're talking about a green from the ground up, sunrise to sunset community, where children are blessed and seniors are cared for. And in doing this, I want to share something with you, that we are laying the foundation of what we've termed the T-Zone. So let me take you on a tour of the T-Zone very quickly. If you start over on Stony Island, you have the Obama Center. And if you go down Stony Island, you continue to travel toward 95th Street and you turn left, you will then go down about a mile or two and you will run into Advocate Healthcare's brand new hospital that will be built. But also across from that, you will also have what is known as the University of Chicago Quantum Center. That will be the Silicon Valley for the Midwest. Then if you then travel the other direction, you will pass by Amani Village going west. All the spaces that I talked about, the Metro Line, and then Chicago State. And then if you continue on, you will find the Red Line. And then from the Red Line, you continue on down there. You run into a church called Trinity United Church of Christ. Great church, by the way. And then you will run into the Carter G. Woodson Library that has the largest collection of African-American literature in the Midwest, all on 95th Street. We have the seeds that have been planted. It's time to till the ground, to see renaissance, not gentrification. So let's let the light in and see what will happen and grow.
Thank you, Pastor Moss. So the T is also in light. The T is also in 95th. So as you think about the future, but more importantly, the importance of these projects and what they mean for the quality of life of Southsiders, and I imagine the entire city, what do you want some of the early impact to look like?
Already on off of 95th Street in Washington Heights, we have 65% of the people who are there own their homes, the highest home ownership on the south side of Chicago. We want people to recognize the thriving nature of what is already happening on 95th Street. The creation of our boutique hotel is simply this. There are within 1 to 2 miles of Amani Village, there are 6 athletic facilities. But if you live on the south side and you're an AAU, you have to go to Indiana if you want a tournament. We can't even keep our dollars in Chicago. By building a simple hotel, we can ensure that families will be able to have some breakfast in the morning and then go to their tournament for several days, keeping the dollars circulating within the community. And that's a part of bringing the light.
Thank you. Let's give it up for all of our finalists. So to close us out for today, I'd like to invite Karishma Ali, Director of Community Investment at the Pritzker Traubert Foundation, to facilitate a closing with our team members with closing remarks as well. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you, Aisha, for being our MC and keeping things so dynamic today. And I know Dan can't be partial, but I'm going to go ahead and say this may be one of the best lineups City Club has ever seen. Am I right? So before we close out our program today, I did want to give our community leaders one more opportunity to share their thoughts. So I'm going to ask this one final speed round question because that's all we have time for. But this one is all heart. And I know you've given us a lot of heart today, but this one is all heart. We've heard about your vision, your plans. Everyone in the room has more details in the booklets that were on your seats, so we encourage you to take those with you. But I would love for you to share with us, what is your favorite thing about your community? What is it that people should know or come to see in your neighborhood? Maybe it's a person, maybe it's a restaurant, maybe it's a small business. Whatever that is, can you please share with us what it is that you love the most or want people to come and see in your neighborhood and experience for themselves? I couldn't have stumped you. This is...
Well, I would begin by saying that the Carter G. Woodson Library is absolutely extraordinary. To witness young people spending time in the library, not just for books, but also creating podcasts and video casts in the library. And then the Vivian Harsh collection is incredible. And it's one of the highest, has the highest participation of some of the libraries in all of Chicago is at the Carter G. Woodson Library.
We're working in multiple communities, so I would like for families to come to the living room to see the children play in all of the homes and all of the communities that we're building.
My answer is always the people. you know, the people of North Lawndale who have stayed during the tough times and should now benefit when their revitalization begins to happen. And so, first and foremost, you know, it's my neighbors. You know, I do this work because that's where I live. And so that's what we're doing.
I have to say as well, the people of our community are resilient. They are creative. They are innovative and they get it done. Mm-hmm. In terms of places, my favorite would have to be the Southside Community Arts Center, the longest running African-American arts center in the nation. It has sparred many of the greatest artists that this country has seen. And it is now so fortunate to be in renovation and expansion. But then I'm also going to bring you to Cottage Grove, to the Fortune House, where we have 20-year-old artists doing amazing things in the same spectrum. So we have it all.
And hopefully in just a few years, when people come to visit your communities, they will also see all of your projects up and running. And we can't wait for that. I hope with that and with everything else that was shared today, you all heard and can see and even feel the dedication and excitement of these leaders when it comes to bringing their visions to life. On behalf of the Pritzker Trabert Foundation, we are so excited for what is to come, not just from the recipient of the third cycle, which we will be announcing in the fall, but also from those finalists that will still continue to push their visions forward. And we already see the fruits of that monumental work with the recipients of our last two Chicago Prize grantees that you've heard about today. We just attended a beam-raising event yesterday in West Garfield Park for the Sankofa Wellness Center. That's going to be opening in the fall. Yeah. And I believe Aisha actually is the one that referred to it as a West Garfield Park's pyramid, because it is truly going to be a wonder on the Madison Street corridor and such an asset to that community. So we want to thank the team, Drea Slaughter, ED of the Collaborative, Aisha Jaco, Marshall Hatch Jr., and Pastor Hatch, and Kristen Freeman that are all here today. And I want to say just a couple months ago, we also attended a ribbon cutting for the Anaerobic Digester in Auburn Gresham. And if you haven't been there, this facility is diverting millions of pounds of food, and changing the conversation around environmental and food justice in Chicago. And of course, that incredible work is being led by Carlos Nelson, Jason Feldman, and Erica Allen, who I know you all are in the room somewhere. And there's so many more amazing projects that are coming online. The Exchange Center in Greater Grand Crossing, that was a finalist, and the Aspire Center. So please check those out as well. And I want to say that behind all of these big, bold plans is really a sea of people. And I know that we say that a lot, but it truly can't be said enough that this work cannot happen without committed individuals and partnerships. And Chicago Prize is one of many funding contributions to these projects. There are several funding partners that we walk with in doing this work. So I want to acknowledge some of them: the Chicago Community Trust and We Rise Together, the Driehaus Foundation, McCormick Foundation, JP Morgan Chase, Staines Foundation, MacArthur Foundation. And we also have so many partners that support this process. We have partners at the city, Deputy Mayor Aquina, Commissioner Sierra Boatwright, and Lisette Gastineda, that provide both financial and administrative support to Chicago Prize projects. So thank you all. We also have our advisors. We have Andrea Sines and Andy Zopp and Juan Salgado that you heard from, but also 30 other members that really dedicate their time and energy to this process. And then we have folks like DLA Piper, who are in the room, that provide legal pro bono services. And one name that I know all of you know, our beloved Teresa Prim, who provides... who really pours her heart into this work and into all of these projects and bringing them to life. And then we have our communications team, M. Harris, that really supports us in putting events like this together and throughout the process. And really, there are so many more people that we would need a whole nother city club just to do that. So I won't keep you all here that much longer. But on that note, I do want to leave everyone in the room with one more request. And I want to say that when we were having our prep call for this event, one thing that was stated really struck me. And I think, Rhonda, you were the one that said it. You said, many times you all are seated next to each other as competitors, and competitors that are really vying for the same pot of money. But you said that just as much, if not more, you all are also partners and cheerleaders in this work for each other. So whether it's folks in North Lawndale working with Austin or West Garfield Park or Bronzeville leaning on Auburn Gresham for advice and support. And I have to tell you that that prep call felt exactly like that. It was a group of friends that were joking and laughing and working together. And it was incredibly touching and inspiring to see. So I say that because they all know what their charge is to make this work happen. They will pick up the phone and call who they need to, and they will show up as the best partners and support systems and advocate and still go after the pot. But for the rest of us in the room, we also have a charge, and our charge is to make the pot much bigger and fill it with, yeah. And fill it with all kinds of gifts. So certainly lots of money, but also other resources. I mean, there's legal support, there's communication support. Even if you have connections you can make, that's really important. So my request to you today is, let's make the biggest pot we can possibly make, because that's what communities on the South and West Side deserve. So thank you all for joining us today, and please stay tuned and be a part of the Chicago Prize family. Thank you.
Thank you, Karishma. That was perfect. And thank you to all of our panelists and the finalists, Rhonda, Dr. Townsell, Raul, and Pastor Moss, and of course Juan and Aisha, of course. Very much appreciated. I won't go on any further. We do have lots of great programs. If you're not a member, become one. It's very easy to do so. And you'll appreciate, hopefully, this new era of City Club, where you're going to have more and more programs like this and see so many incredible people. So come on back. We've got Pedro Martinez on June 16th. We've got the future of Illinois Transit on June 17th. Stacey Davis Gates from the Teachers Union on June 23rd. Commissioner Sierra Boatwright on the 25th. Mariana Spiropoulos, who's going to tell us about she's a new clerk of the Circuit Court of Cook County on June 26th. We have a busy couple weeks. It is summer, but it's going to be a fun summer. And we look forward to having all of you back very often. Thank you all for being here. Thank you, Brian and Penny, and to the Chicago Prize team and the Pritzker Traubert Foundation. What an incredible gathering of Chicago civic leaders. Appreciate everybody's time here. Have a beautiful, great summer day in Chicago.